Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio Scene, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
All right, welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, everybody. Woohoo! This is the 420 show. Speaking of 420, I have to get coffee. No idea what that, you know, means about 420, but well, it might. It just might. So how is everybody doing today? It's a beautiful day out here in Tucson, Arizona. I think it's probably supposed to be like, I don't know, 80 or 85 degrees today. It's pretty crazy for April 17th. It's a pretty good, that's a pretty good temperature there. Silver Sister is on her way. Beep, beep. And thanks to Tucson traffic. Most everybody's probably late wherever they are. All right. Here we go. Let's find out. Let's see what we can do here. It's April 17th. We know it's coming up. But we also want to know, here it is. How many days until Christmas? Woo! 252 days until Christmas. Woo-hoo. All right. Welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, everybody. How are y'all doing out there? Everybody groovy this morning? Everybody getting ready for 420? You saving up your pennies, your dimes, and your nickels so you can go out and get some weed to smoke or eat or rub on your body or do whatever, I don't know, whatever you do. Whatever you do with your weed these days, just do it. It's good for you. Vitamin M, vitamin C, whatever you want to. Oh, we already have vitamin C. We already have a vitamin M too. Well, we'll just use it anyway. We'll take it. We love all the vitamins, right? Whew. As long as you have something to do with cannabis. I don't know, other vitamins work. Some vitamins work. Monolaurin, if you ever start to get sick, this thing is the bomb. It's sick. Haha. And all my things are off. Right? But yeah, Monolaurin seems to work. And there's a naturopathic one. So Monolaurin is for viruses, not bacteria. So it's got vitamin C, echinacea, astragalus, and Monolaurin is actually the enzyme in coconut. So, which breaks through your blood cell barrier real quickly. So if you're really starting to get sick, get the Monolaurin. You can go to like Sprouts or Whole Foods and pick that up. It really works fast. So yeah, what's going on in the world of weed out there? People are planning their parties. There's lots going on around Arizona. We're going to read about, I'm going to let you know what's going on in the areas. There's parties and gatherings and doohickeys all over town. And then we're going to read some of the origin of the 420 story because we always like that one, right? Oh, birds are out. All right. First off, we want to give a shout out to Tumbleweeds Health Center at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. Come on down and get certified or just get your questions answered about cannabis. You don't have to get certified. We have consultations that we offer, which are really nice. If you just want to ask some questions with one, you know, speak with one of our doctors before going through the whole process, you can do that. And let's see what's going on. I don't know why, but the little picture never came up, just the QR code to vote for us. So I think voting's over. I'll have to fix that one, and we'll just have to wait and see who won the voting. All right. Get certified for $269. And if you're 25 or younger, we do want records. Otherwise, we've probably already seen you before, or you probably have an ailment, or we can probably fax out for your records. But just come on down. We accept walk-ins, 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. We do telemedicine. We'll see you on the computer. You can make an appointment. If you go to the certification section, you can book your appointment right there. Click it, book it. There it is. It's as simple as that. And if you want to know what you can get your medical cannabis card for, what the conditions are, here we are. A lot of these need records, and most of them that we read off, you'll understand, especially PTSD. They have, the state of Arizona has to have a record, which means we have to have a record. So if you've been seeing someone in the last 12 months for that, it has to be every, within 12 months. PTSD, cancer, glaucoma, AIDS, chronic pain, which covers arthritis, backaches, knee aches, leg aches, cramps, DDD, RA, all the arthritises, fibromyalgia, migraines, it covers all that stuff. Stomach problems, IBS can even be really, really painful. Severe nausea, seizures, including epilepsy, HIV, Hep C, ALS, Crohn's disease, agitation of Alzheimer's, including dementia and all 28 or so types of Alzheimer's, 28, 29. It's probably more now. Cachexia or wasting syndrome if you're not able to eat or keep things down. Severe and persistent muscle spasms, including MS. And that includes tremors and Parkinson's and things of that nature. You are eligible for a medical cannabis card if you suffer from a chronic or debilitating disease or medical condition, or just the treatment for a chronic or debilitating disease or condition that causes any of the above conditions and more. That's right. If you didn't hear your condition on there, but your doctors are having you take a medicine or go through a therapy that's causing something on here, nausea, headaches, pain, you can get your card for that. And it is a very simple process.
If you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
All right. Give us a call, 520-838-4430. And chatting with some folks online right now, if you want to chat, all you have to do is get on over to the website. Go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And you can log in. It's pretty simple. And then you can chat. I think they just want your name and your email, and then you can blog here with us and let us know your comments. Let us know you, what you want to know about weed, if you love weed, if you don't, if you use it, if your grandma does, whatever it is. We want to know about it. Yeah. All right. So, the history of 420. Is it even real? Is it a cop call? Do the cops sit on the radio and they're like, we got a 420 in progress? I don't know. Maybe they do just for fun. All right. Well, we will get to that story. Let's just get to one of those stories now. And this is actually coming from history. Yes. The hazy history of 420. Here we go. Many don't know the origins of the quote 420 reference, but have vague recollections of once heard tales about its origins. Some believe it's the number of active chemicals in marijuana. Others that it's based on treat time in Holland. Ooh, that sounds good. Some reference the birthday of Adolf Hitler, 420, 1889. And others, Bob Dylan's legendary Everybody Must Get Stoned, refrain from his hit Rainy Day Women number 12 and 35. 12 multiplied by 35 does equal 420. Who did that? What did he do that? But in reality, it can all be traced back to a group of five California teens who used to hang out by a wall outside their San Rafael school, a meeting spot that inspired their nickname, the Waldos. In the fall of 1971, the Waldos learned of a Coast Guard member who had planted a cannabis plant and could no longer tend to the crop. Provided with a treasure map, some say by the plant's owner himself, supposedly leading to the abandoned product, the group would meet at the Louis Pasteur statue outside their school at least once a week and conduct a search. Their meeting time, you guessed it, 4:20. After practice, they were all athletes. The Waldos would pile into a car, smoke some weed, and scour the nearby Point Reyes forest for the elusive free herb. One of the original members of the Waldos, Steve Capper, told the Huntington Post, quote, "We would remind each other in the hallways we were supposed to meet up at 4:20. It originally started out 4:20 Louis, Louis, and we eventually dropped the Louis." They never did score the free bud, but perhaps they stumbled on to something more lasting. The term 4:20 was coined, allowing the high school kids to discuss smoking pot without their parents or teachers even knowing. But how did this ragtag team of pot plant seekers at a high school in California manage to spread their phrase internationally? Well, for that, we turn to the Grateful Dead. Ooh. Members of the Waldos had open access and many connections to the band. Mark Gravich's father managed the Dead's real estate. Dave Reddick's older brother was good friends with Dead bassist Phil Lesh and managed a Dead side band. Capper told the Huntington Post, quote, "There was a place called Winterland, and we'd always be backstage running around or on stage, and of course we were using those phrases when somebody passes a joint or something, hey, 420. So it started spreading throughout the community. The first time Stephen Bloom ever heard the phrase 420 was during Christmas week at a Grateful Dead concert in Oakland, California in 1990, while he was a reporter for High Times. Bloom was wandering through the congregation of hippies that would gather before Dead concerts, and a Deadhead, quote, handed him a flyer that said, going to meet at 420 for 420 for 420. In Marin County at the Bolinas Ridge Sunset Spot on Mount Tamalpais. Bloom found the old flyer and sent it to the Huffington Post. The flyer told the history of 420, referencing the Waldos of San Rafael. Once High Times latched onto the story, the magazine helped launch the word globally. Today, the unofficial holiday is known worldwide. Officials at the University of Colorado Boulder and the University of California Santa Cruz, two colleges that boast of having the biggest smokeouts, Kaiser Chico, attempted to push back on the growing popularity of the festivities among their students in 2009. They encouraged or pleaded with their students to not participate, to no avail. Is it bright in here? In 2003, when the California legislature codified the medical marijuana law, the voters had passed, the bill was named SB 420. No one fessed up to being responsible for the number, but likely a staffer in California State Assembly member Mark Wino's office. 420 has also been referenced in classic movies like Pulp Fiction, where some of the clocks are set to the time 420, and on national TV when a contestant on The Price is Right only bid numbers involving 420. 420, 1420. Even the 1990s Nickelodeon cartoon Rocco's Modern Life featured a clock reading 420. Of course it did. After the stories we're hearing about Nickelodeon, whew, that was the least of their problems, weed. It's called Quiet on Set. If you want to watch it, it's very disturbing about children going what they went through. I have friends that watch TV shows, the Nickelodeon shows, and they won't even watch this special about all the bad things because they don't want to ruin their childhood. Like, that was their entire childhood, Double Dare, you know, take the physical challenge where they dive in into like goop and ooh and all that crap. And then you hear these stories and you're like, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear them. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. There's Toys R Us is back, right? Woohoo! Yeah, maybe somewhere. I think so. FAO Schwartz's. I think that's in San Francisco, though. I think they whittled it down to one toy shop. But I think they come back. I think they came back. I'm not sure. While many other illicit tales of the origins of 420 have wafted into the half-baked history books, the Waldos have proof. They used the word back in the 1970s, kept safely tucked away in a vault in San Francisco Bank is their original 420 tie-dyed flag. A newspaper clipping where one of the members discusses wanting to just say 420 for his high school graduation speech. And postmarked letters between the group filled with 420 references. What's next for the Waldos? Two of the original five still prefer to remain anonymous, but have agreed to consider making a documentary or compiling a dictionary of their slang words. Or maybe they will just continue to enjoy a more mellow blaze of glory. Well, there's one story. We'll read more throughout the show. I bet it's bad traffic out there because everyone's just like racing to the dispensaries to get their weed. They're stocking up. They're going to the ATMs. They're getting their money. It's exciting. Just a few days. What is it? Wednesday, 72 hours, and we got the 420 going on. Woo-woo! Mm-hmm. All right. Is there an update on the Tucson Weekly? The best of stuff? Do they have that out on Wednesdays or is it Thursdays? Let's see. I'm just so curious. And the cannabis bowl. Right? Weed bowl? Here we go. We're just going to look it up. Tucson Weekly Cannabis Bowl. Results of this year's polls. Nope, that's last year. They don't have it out yet. Wait, nope. All right, so let's see. But there are some events going on in and around from the 18th to the 21st. Marijuana events in Arizona. 99% are going to be up in Phoenix probably. Let's see if there's anything going on around town here. We need to do one. We just need to have one. And that way we could have a huge barbecue in the back of Tumbleweeds. And we could offer certifications for discounted prices, like big party. Let's do it. Next year. Next time. April 18th, Story Cannabis Company, a fast-growing, privately held multi-state dispensary dedicated to crafting and carefully developed retail experience, is pleased to invite the community to an early 420 celebration at Story North Chandler. The Reefer Roadshow features a drive-in movie screen of Half-Baked, several cannabis vendors, free food and drinks, and two goodie bags containing about $100 worth of products on Thursday, April 18th. The event kicks off at 5:30 p.m. and runs until 9. Tickets are $35 a car, includes a free burger, a drink, a bag of popcorn, and two cannabis goodie bags valued at $100. Well, that's actually pretty fun. A drive-in. That's right. Get everybody ripped and send them back out on the highway. There you go, guys. Wow. April 19th. The third annual Buzzapalooza Music and Cultural Festival taking place downtown in Roosevelt Row on April 19th, 2024. The festival kicks off at precisely 4:20 and concludes at midnight. Buzzapalooza will highlight Southwest counterculture just a day before the cannabis-centric 4:20 holiday. This year's festival will feature music artists on the OG's main stage, comedians, films, glass blowing competitions, live mural artists, and of course, food, beverage, and art vendors in the Munchie Mall. Well, there you have it. Where's Roosevelt Row? You know where that is? It's got to be a Phoenix thing. But you can look it up. We'll post a link right now to the schedule of events if and you're in the area. You can check them out. We'll continue to read. April 20th, Soulflower is one of the largest single-state dispensary operations in the Grand Canyon State with 9 total retail locations, 5 here in Phoenix and 4 in Tucson. Soulflower will be offering buy one, get ones on vapes, edibles, flowers from many of their most popular brands. So that's something here in Tucson. Buy one, get ones are good. Right? We're going to get some brownies. trashed. April 21st, the 420 Hangover presented by Story Cannabis. 420 Hangover is an annual tradition that takes place the day after the iconic 420 and hosted by Story Cannabis. they have 10 Arizona locations. The event is set to extend the celebration of 420 for one more day with activities designed to immerse attendees in the cannabis culture. There will be food trucks, brunch and mimosas, and giveaways, music, art installation, merchandise, educational sessions where attendees will learn all about different strains of cannabis. The event starts at noon and runs through 8 p.m. Tickets for the event are required. All right. Well, there you have it. And here are six Arizona dispensaries hosting Rasta theme parties on 419 and 420. Important, guys. Important. It's a Rasta theme party. Alrighty, there's not much that goes together better with cannabis and great food and the hidden hypnotic rhythm of Rasta tunes. That's true. I miss my reggae on the river days. It's so peaceful and mellow, you know, most of it. Maybe we'll play that at the break. Mint cannabis. Oh, so to celebrate National Cannabis Day, which happens to fall on a Saturday this year, Mint Cannabis is setting out to prove there's only one dispensary to love with a two-day celebration. On Friday, the 19th, and Saturday, April 20, the operator's six dispensaries in Arizona will host Rasta-themed celebrations chock full of food, fun, prizes, giveaways, and plenty of great music, of course, for customers 21 and older. Throughout the two-day celebration on 419 and 420, customers will be treated to a curated list of Rasta tunes from a local DJ with bold Jamaican cuisine to go with it. This will include free uninfused Jamaican jerk chicken tacos in the store parking lot on 419, two paellas, and infused Jamaican-inspired desserts available for purchase from the Mint Cannabis Kitchen in Tempe on both days. Tempe. There will be plenty of deals to score at the Mint's six dispensaries in Arizona during the celebratory weekend with more than $100,000 in giveaways and prizes. The Mint plans to conduct free product and medicated raffles all day long on both days. Swag bags will be distributed at 8 a.m., 4:20 p.m., and 7:10 p.m. on 419 and 420. Customers who dress up like Bob Marley on either one of those days will receive a free pre-roll. One per customer during the two-day celebration. Customers who make a purchase of $25 or more on 419 or 420 will receive a free medicated item from the Mint. Additionally, customers can enter themselves into a random drawing for a chance to win a Jamaican cruise getaway for two this September, no purchase necessary, one entry per customer. And that's at the entrance to each of the dispensaries. The winner of the gateway will be drawn on Facebook Live at 4:20 on Monday, April 22nd. Each dispensary will be decked out in Rasta colors, and Mint team members will also get in on the fun by donating t-shirts that say, "My One Love Cannabis." More fun awaits in the form of a social media-inspired hashtag, #OneLoveMint, for guests to capture and share their fun memories during the two-day celebration. Last but certainly not least, the Mint's leadership team will present a check to Scottsdale Community College this month to formally announce a higher education cannabis scholarship for four students pursuing a career in the cannabis industry. This is finding me really funnier. The Mint is financing scholarships valued at $420 each for four SCC students. I guess the classes aren't any more than $420. Or maybe they just get a scholarship to part of the class. Partial scholarship. All right. Maybe the full scholarship comes in at $710. Sorry, guys. Couldn't even help myself. When? Friday, April 19th and Saturday, April 20th, 2024. Stores open to all six Mint dispensaries. You can visit Mint Deals for hours and where. The Rasta-inspired 420 celebrations will take place at all six Mint dispensaries in Arizona. 5210 South Priest Drive in Tempe, Arizona, 85283. The Mint Cafe is based here, and it's the headquarters of Mint Cannabis, so you can be assured they're going to be Rasta Ramen out over there. Ooh, Rasta Ramen, TM. I'm making it. different color Rastas for the 420 of it. 330 East Southern Avenue in Mesa, 85210. 17036 North Cave Creek Road, Phoenix, 85032, and that's at Cave Creek and Bell Roads. 2444 West Northern Avenue, and that's Phoenix, 85021, and that's at I-17 and Northern. 1211 North 75th Avenue, and that's Phoenix, 85043, and that's near the State Farm Stadium. And lastly, 8729 East Manzanita Drive in Scottsdale, 85258, and that's near Talking Sticks. All right, so there you have it, kids. I'll post this for you now as well. There's 6 Arizona dispensaries hosting Rasta-themed parties. Go get your goodies. Go get all your free swag. It's always fun to get deals. There's a lot of buy one, get ones around right now. And you know what? I can't. We have to play this one. And then we'll play Three Little Birds at the end.
Puff, 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 puff. Puff, 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 puff,
into my house like what up, I got some good pot, I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop, ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty, my friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey, rolling in hella high, looking like it's pizza time, dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries, draped in a snuggie with my girl sitting next to me, probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. I can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? Seville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with 2 super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I take those 4 major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers. And bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peep game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs, it's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
All right. Welcome back to Weebsday Wednesday at the Midway. How's everybody doing? What's going on? Oh, my God. I know. Isn't that a funny song? I love it. And we actually had him on air, Steve McNamara. He was running for, no, not Steve McNamara. What's the guy that did that song? He ran for mayor of Florida? No. McNamara is the other guy, the guy that did the real version, right? Oh, I don't know. You probably know Open Hour. You can let me know. I don't remember. But, yeah, that's. I have to play it every time. It's just hysterical. We'll lead out here with Three Little Birds. Oh, Macklemore. That's right. We got a good one. Got a good live guy or gal here. The original one. Yeah. I actually like the pot shop better. All right. Let's see what else is going on in the world of weed. Give us a call, 646-915-8421. You can call in. If you want to call in and if you want to be on the air, just hit number one and we'll get a little raised hand. And it'll say, you're going on air. But let's give a shout out to Tumbleweeds Health Center. Oh, where's my golf clap? I don't have it. I've got to put that back on there. 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. Come on down and get certified. And get some, oh boy, get some information. These apps are so crazy. Do I have to pay for this thing to not have this happen? To skip these videos for fun video games? Yep, probably. All right, at any rate, no idea what's going on. Forget that. All right, let's get back and find out what's happening in the world of weed around. I wonder what other states and stuff, I wonder where the biggest 420 celebration is. Yeah, probably California. Let's say the San Francisco Bay Area. Is your Tesla self-driving car knocking you out? Oh, no. Guys, if you're letting your self-drive car drive itself and you're smoking bong hits in the passenger seat in the back, careful. Tesla's sending your information back home. Uh-oh, that's bad. All right. Oh. March marks new high for cannabis sales in Michigan. Too bad we're in April. Illinois lawmakers seek a ban on intoxicating hemp products. But they always look so good. They always show just like your regular gummy bears, you know. I still haven't found like a gummy bear that tastes exactly like the gummy bears you buy in the store. Because that's what you want it to taste like, right? That exact consistency, that flavor. But you want it to have a little medicine or maybe a little more medicine. All right. A worker fired after hanging his own painting next to Warhol's at Modern Art Museum in Germany. Let's see what he hung up. That's awesome. All right.
Unknown caller.
Potential spam. You guys are going away. An employee of Pinakothek des Moderne in Munich hung his own art next to Andy Warhol paintings. People are calling it a reverse art heist. At the Germany's Museum, one of Europe's finest modern art galleries, showcasing the priceless works of Pablo Picasso, Salvador Dali, Keith Haring, Max Ernst, and so on and so on, a mysterious painting hung alongside famous paintings by Andy Warhol for 8 hours. It was hours later by the time the museum staff realized it was illegally hung by one of their own, an unnamed 51-year-old employee and an aspiring guerrilla artist. The museum promptly fired the employee upon learning of his prank. However, the only permanent damage he did was drill two holes in the gallery wall. The artist seemed to say to himself, why isn't my art just as good? And hung his own art without permission. The man hung his art in the hope of achieving his artistic breakthrough, the German newspaper, not even going to pronounce that, reported, citing the police as a source. Yeah, I can't even. The Guardian reports that on Tuesday, the Southern Germany Museum confirmed that it had fired an employee from its technical services team after he was caught hanging his own painting in a part of the gallery that showcases works by Warhol, whom High Times interviewed in the August 1977 issue, as well as other famous modern and contemporary artists. The particular artist says he just wanted people to see his art. The employee considers himself as an artist and most likely saw his role in the museum's installation team as a day job to support his true calling. A spokesperson for the Panacotec told The Guardian. Some things are better left unsaid. Instead of drawing more attention, the museum staff decided to just leave it up there until closing time. Quote, the decision was made to keep the picture on display while the gallery was open and take it down after its closing time at 6 p.m., the spokesperson said. Maybe it wasn't so bad. The Pinacotec decided to hide photos of his art from the public in order to discourage copycat pranksters. Quote, all I can say is that we did not receive any positive feedback on the addition from visitors to the gallery, quote, the spokesman quipped. The museum is located in Munich's Kunstreal Museum Quarter, and it also showcases notable architecture and design work. The New York Times called it a reverse art heist, an action in which the artist hangs his or her own art on the wall of a museum without permission. It's also called guerrilla art, an art form that was perfected by artists like Bansky. The employee had access to the gallery after opening hours, and so he didn't attract any attention from security staff. He quietly installed his own 60 centimeter by 120 centimeter painting on an empty white wall in a passage in the Eastern Wing's first floor gallery. The incident took place February 23rd, but the museum did not go public with it until last Monday. As for Warhol, when interviewed by High Times, he said, many gut-busting, hilarious things, like the fact that when he gets drunk, quote, I tell everyone they can be on the cover of interview, quote. Warhol is credited with transforming the definition of art by introducing his brand of pop art, colorful screen print art that could be produced at a more efficient scale, selling them for millions during his own lifetime. The German artist in Munich left an impression and, in Warhol's words, is getting his own, quote, 15 minutes of fame, thanks to his prank that cost him his job. The German man is not alone, and other artists have made a name for themselves via guerrilla art, namely the anonymous artist Bansky. Between October 2003 and May of 2005, Bansky walked into some of the most highly regarded and significant museums in London and New York in order to place some of his artworks. He or she probably smokes weed in one prank at the Edwardian Bristol City Art Museum in the UK. Museum goers enjoyed participating in a game of Spot the Bansky among the permanent collections. One such piece included a hand-painted, quote, clearly used hash pipe, quote, inside of a piece of pottery, but plainly visible. Bansky appeared to favor hash. In 2003, for instance, the artist illegally hung his own art at the esteemed Tate Britain, formerly called the National Gallery of British Art. In an act, he was inspired by cannabis resin. His self-hung piece was entitled, Crime Watch UK Has Ruined the Countryside for All of Us, and was placed next to a 19th century landscape. One could say that all graffiti art is guerrilla art in the sense that it's illegal without permission. This particular artist was inspired to hang his own art and to display it to the world with or without anyone's permission. Well, there you have it. Uh-oh. Remember I told you the other day about this gay couple, these guys, they had all this, these gargantuan, I mean, they were the size of walls at McDonald's. And they were about happy people eating meals. And there were, you know, your straight couples and your best friends and this and that. And they were all eating McDonald's food. And these two gay guys decided to make their own gargantuan installation and just went in there during the middle of the day to make some random McDonald's. I think it was in L.A., you know, super busy probably. And I bet the staff didn't think anything of it. They probably thought, well, we're just getting another art installation hung up for our series. And it hung up there for like months. And when they finally found it, Ellen DeGeneres, of course, got wind of the story and invited them on their show and made her part of her production team for a little while, but and gave them a ton of money for doing something like that. It was crazy. But yeah, it's interesting. People just really, you could do something right in front of their faces and they wouldn't know it at all. I love those games where they show like a person standing there and they're talking to him about something and there's like weird things happening in the back and like flashing and things going on and they're clueless. They have no idea what's happening. Way to go, guys. Good job. I want to know what he hung up, though. Guerrilla art. New Hampshire House passed a bill, a cannabis legalization bill. All right, way to go. Uh-oh. California Task Force seized $53 million in illegal cannabis in the first quarter of 2024. That's a lot of illegal cannabis, but that is California. Alabama bill would reboot medical cannabis licensing process. UK researchers report finding xylazine in illicit weed vapes. Do you know what that is? Xylazine. The powerful sedative xylazine is turning up in THC vapes and counterfeit pills, according to research in the UK. Researchers in the United Kingdom have detected the presence of a powerful sedative, xylazine, X-Y-L-A-Z-I-N-E, xylazine, in cannabis vapes and illicit pills taken to treat pain, insomnia, anxiety, putting people who use the tainted drugs at risk of overdose or other serious consequences. The prevalence of xylazine has been growing since 2022, according to researchers at King's College, London, when the first overdose death from the drug in the UK was identified. Xylazine is a powerful non-opioid sedative commonly used as a veterinary tranquilizer. It has been found in the drug supply in the United States for years. It's frequently mixed with heroin or fentanyl and has been implicated in thousands of overdose deaths worldwide, according to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Although it is commonly found in the illicit drug supply, xylazine has not been approved for use in humans by the U.S. and Drug Administration. How the heck are they getting this? This drug is a powerful sedative that can cause overdose, death, often when mixed with other drugs. Additionally, injecting the drug can cause skin ulcers, resulting in complications, including infections that sometimes necessitate, not sneezes, but amputations. Thank you. In the UK, researchers have found xylazine in THC vapes, counterfeit prescription drugs, including codeine, Xanax, Valium, tablets, according to a study published in Wednesday. The research identified xylazine in samples collected from 16 people, including 11 who had died in the UK. Quote, xylazine has already penetrated the UK illicit drug market and is not limited to heroin supplies. Urgent action is needed to protect both people who use heroin and the wider population of people who use drugs from its acute chronic health harms, the researcher wrote. In 9 of the 11 confirmed deaths, xylazine was found in combination with an opioid, like little Opie Cunningham, such as heroin or fentanyl. Researchers say the lack of such a combination in the remaining 2 deaths suggests that xylazine may have been part of the illicit tablet or vape. This is cause for alarm, as a much wider population of people who use drugs beyond heroin users will be exposed to the harms. Dr. Carolyn Copeland, senior author of the study, told The Guardian, we also know that people who buy heroin will not intend to buy xylazine, and this combination increase the risk of overdose. Excuse me. Xylazine was designated an emerging threat to the United States, and this public health threat is growing concern for the UK. Copeland added that the total number of deaths in the UK is probably even higher because xylazine stays in the body for only a short time. Since August 2023, the last death covered by the research, we've had several more deaths, so it's only continuing and increasing, the researcher said. Dr. Benjamin Kaplan, MD, the chief medical officer at cannabis consultations provider CED Clinic, and the author of the doctor-approved cannabis handbook, says that, quote, discovery of xylazine in counterfeit codeine, diazepam, Valium tablets, and recently within THC vapes, particularly those sourced from homegrown suppliers, is particularly troubling. The counterfeit products often look like products sold from reputable sources, so they may appear safe, but in fact may pose a grave threat to unsuspecting consumers. Kaplan, who was not involved in the UK study, wrote in an email to High Times, quote, my professional experience includes dealing with the aftermath of such substances, including patients who have suffered or even lost loved ones due to adulterated products, that they purchase outside of regulated dispensaries, which are closely monitored to avoid any such contamination. A UK government spokesperson said that officials, quote, are aware of the threat from xylazine and are determined to protect people from the threat posed by this drug and other illicit synthetic drugs, quote. Quote, we will not hesitate to act to keep the public safe, the spokesperson said, following advice from the Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs. We intend to make xylazine a Class C drug, meaning anyone supplying this substance will face up to 14 years in prison, a fine, and or both. Both study co-author Dr. Adam Holland, a co-chair of the Drug Specialist Interest Group at the University of Bristol, said the increase in drug contamination and overdose deaths is a clear sign that punitive drug laws are just not working. Quote, we need to expand the range of harm reduction interventions available for people who use drugs, including drug checking and overdose prevention centers to give them the opportunities they need to stay safe, Holland said. Wow, I still don't understand why in the world you would lace something at all. I mean, what is it, A, if you're not there to see someone react to it? B, you're wasting your own money. I mean, you're just giving dope away. Why would you do that? Maybe that's why they call them dope heads. But all right. From the archives, here we go. The most common origin theory. or was it a police code? Here's a little bit more about the history of 420. All right, here we go. Just for fun, folks. In case you're tuning in. You're listening to Weedsday Wednesday, Bellstar here, Cannabis Kid on the Road, Silver Sisters here, thanks to traffic. And from the archives, this is from 2003, High Times, The Power 420. Call it the sociological surprise of marijuana culture. The universal code for getting high has been transformed into a mighty symbol for stoner identity and a symbol for sharing an authentic collective consciousness. Marijuana smokers, like members of other close-knit groups, have a special language, but often people in the straight and narrow world just don't understand it. Strange and alien to outsiders are words such as nugs, dank, permigrin, wake and bake, blunt, bogarting, Rastafarian, towley, or even coffee shops. After 30 years of full-blown marijuana counterculture, outsiders still remain oblivious to the most special marijuana catchphrase of all, 420. And these ads in the corner with the gummy bears. I want gummy bears so bad right now. I can't even handle it. Give me some gummy bears. What outsiders miss, a discerning and very possibly slightly reddened eye can find all around. The 420 imprimatur is on bong hits, t-shirts, patches, coffee mugs. Marijuana fans find it frequently in stoner magazines, head shops, and music lyrics. They feel lucky if they have 420 phone numbers, street addresses, or birthdays. This number is found at smoker websites, on Saturday Night Live, and in news media on or around every April 420. For many smokers, 420 is a guiding light and inspiration. Basically, for those with the raised consciousness of 420, is an essential part of everyday life. Curious about this hidden yet vibrant phenomenon, I did a little research. The results of my sociological investigation were fascinating. Especially intriguing was the potency of 420. Unique in the multiple ways it inspires and cultivates identity, community, and even reality. Yeah, when I first started using cannabis, it was very psychedelic. My mind just hadn't, I think, and that's what it was. My mind hadn't grappled with anything like that before. You know, I'd tasted a little wine cooler, but, you know, and some beers and things, maybe a little whiskey by the time, because I was almost 21 when I started to use cannabis. Wee! But yeah, those first several times were very, like, out of this world. It was pretty fun. It's difficult to even think of another single numerical expression that compares 411, 911, Lucky 7, Demonic 666, the Trinitarian 3, Sexual 69, the Tragic 911, LSD 25, or even the Infinite 3.1416, dot, 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 dot. While these numbers are significant, none by themselves embrace and reflect a community to the extent that 420 does. In documenting 420, I hope to express the sociological surprise of 420. However, Sociological surprises do not necessarily provide new information. The surprise of sociology comes when it shines new light in our everyday behaviors and experiences, and everyone on the inside knows that 420 is a most special number. My goal is to explain some of the sociological reasons for its special status as spirit and guide for marijuana smokers. In doing so, I drew upon the insights of nearly 100 420 smokers. And this is from High Times. Learning the secret code. Learning is extremely important in achieving identity. In fact, it's the basic and necessary way an identity is achieved. And if learning takes place with friends or family, achieving the identity is even more likely. This pattern, most pot smokers first learn about 420 from high school or college friends or from brothers or sisters. One smoker learned about it from good friends in the military who introduced 420 as an alternative to 1620 military time. Others explained that they became part of the crew by hitting 420 or learned about it when sharing marijuana with new friends at rock concerts, fish shows in particular. One of the first lessons smokers learn is that while the meaning of 420 is obvious to insiders as universal or as an international symbol of marijuana, marijuana smoking and marijuana subculture, it's also a secret code or secret advertiser. Smokers recount comedic stories, such as one where a high school teacher asked a student what time it was, and he replied, 420, eliciting the laughter of in-group classmates and the bewilderment of his teacher. Another smoker explained that 420's secret quality allowed him to get a pro-marijuana symbol past high school authorities, sneaking a criminal-style number 420 mugshot into the yearbook without the faculty editor noticing. Others explain that it allowed them to wear blatant symbols of marijuana to school, 420 written on hats, t-shirts, and the like, without encountering the negative sanctions associated with less obscure symbols such as marijuana leaves. Still others explain that 420 as a secret code allowed them to safely and accurately identify others who smoke marijuana. For example, one smoker explained, 420 is like a secret advertiser, a good way to keep scattered tabs about who puffs. All of this is fascinating on the sociologist, because secrets and humor are very effective means of binding groups closer together. Secrets create a social boundary between outsiders and insiders, making insiders feel closer together. Humor, at least for those who share in it, enhances feelings of relaxation and warmth. And together, secrets and humor cultivate closeness, commitment, and group solidarity. 420 time. Smokers explain that 420 is a time that is in between day and night, a good time to relax and chill. Others said, if my friends and I are ever up at 420, we always celebrate by smoking a bowl or a joint. It's simply a justified reason to smoke. For novices, 420 smoking behavior motivates smoking behavior by organizing time. The newly inducted learn that 420 means a or the time to smoke. For example, smokers explained how they learned that 420 in their afternoon was prime time for smokers, that pot smoker happy hour, the best time to smoke, or the international smoke time. One expressed the general sentiment of the novice, you have to smoke at 420 if you have herb. Smokers explained how they set their alarm clocks or how clocks in general served as reminders to smoke at 420. Nearly all smokers agreed that for the novice, 420 becomes an excuse for a reason to smoke and frequently involves excess smoking. This pattern is sociologically significant because a crucial ingredient in the recipe for identity achievement is immersion in identity-shaping activities. In other words, smoking lots of weed in the beginning normalizes getting high and increasing the chances of defining oneself as a smoker of weed. The sociologists would also take note of the important fact that the organization of time is one of the most basic frameworks that supports a legitimate a reality. Stated otherwise, 420 time lends legitimacy or a sense of truthfulness to pot smoker reality. Puffing such sociological value aside, more seasoned smokers resisted. They complained that such time structuring created a ritualistic use of 420 or that it turned marijuana smoking to a joke. One smoker who described himself as patriotic to the weed claimed that 420 should not be guided by time, but rather a more spontaneous pledge, and a tribute. Whether a novice or seasoned user, what nearly everyone agreed upon is that 420 means a source of unity or oneness in the pot smoker community. It was variously described as a, quote, time to unite with all smokers, quote, a smokers club, and ways to bring users together for smoking community and solidarity. Smokers repeatedly claim that 420 created a common bond among friends and fellow smokers. They know that when they light up at 420, thousands, if not millions, probably billions now, of others are doing the same thing at the same time. Most pot smokers would probably accept as fact that 420 originated in San Rafael, California, with Steve Waldo, who used the expression 420 Louis in high school. Waldo used it as a secret code to remind friends to meet for smoking sessions at the Louis Pasteur statue 70 minutes after the 310 dismissal. However, regardless of whether or not the smokers would talk, I talked with actually knew of the veracity of Waldo's claim, they were generally uninterested in determining 420's true origin. One expressed a typical view, the actual meaning of 420 or where it came from seems unimportant to me compared to the feeling of 420. That's the true meaning. Another was a similar opinion. Most people do not desire to know where 420 came from, but rather enjoy it for its cultural importance. Well, that sounds silly. A third, after reviewing a number of possible theories, explained, while some of these reports are more believable than others, they all represent how important the number is to the marijuana community. Emphasizing the value of learning from talking about 420, a fourth smoker expressed this general point. I think the most valid meaning of 420 origins is the underlying things you learn. What fascinated me about origin theories was that while smokers actively discussed and debated them, they didn't care about learning the truth. This apparent contradiction made more sense when I realized that the dozens of theories discussed and debated, though often wrong or unprovable, were equivalent to a 101 course in marijuana cultural literacy. It is, as smokers repeatedly told me, more important to discuss and debate than to discover the truth because of the underlying things that can be learned. Oh, boy. So this is a very lengthy article, which we're probably going to have to carry on and continue next time. I hope you guys all have a fabulous 420. Be safe out there, whatever you're doing. And thanks to Tumbleweed Tell Center, we are brought here each and every week.
Are chronic conditions holding you back from a happy, healthy life? Get on the right track with Tumbleweeds Health Center. Our CBD products are formulated to fit your healthy lifestyle.
I would definitely say that CBD has changed my life. I mean, I don't worry about my dog anymore, and I don't worry about sleeping anymore.
Tumbleweeds Health Center, voted number one health center in Tucson, has created a proprietary number of CBD blends, each designed to promote health and well-being. Let Tumbleweeds Health Center show you how CBD products might help you improve your life the natural way.
That's right. Just check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And thanks for our guests for tuning in and hanging out. And love you guys. I like that. I need to hear this song going out on us, right? There you go. Yep. There we go. All right. Thanks, guys. Happy Wednesday.